Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 20. Book of Proverbs chapter 20. My text today will be verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? There is a very high probability that you have seen a commercial on television advertising fabric whiteners. The sponsors get several white shirts dirty and then they wash them with various detergents. By themselves, they look white. But when they are laid side by side, and of course the advertised detergent gets the shirt the whitest, or may I say, the implication is the cleanest. You see, white equates to being clean. I submit unto you that what a man thinks is white and what is truly white are two different things. Take any one of those bleached out, freshly washed, specially brightened garments. By themselves, they appear to be white or clean. But place them beside the clothes that Jesus was wearing when he was transfigured, and you will see what white really is. Mark chapter 9, verse 3 says, "And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them." So, my friend, you might think that you're good in the eyes of God. Your self-righteousness shines like the brightest star. You think your heart is clean, but is it? By itself, your heart may appear pure. It looks to be white and clean. I challenge you to lay your heart beside God's for a comparison. And if you do, you will find that your white is not so white after all. Oh, perhaps you're not like other people. You haven't committed any of the big three, adultery, fornication, murder. Actually, it's adultery, murder, and bank robbery. You aren't a bad person per se. In fact, you're pretty good as far as good goes. You may even think that you've never sinned. Well, you know you've done some things wrong, you made some mistakes, but in your eyes, that really isn't sin. Overall, you think that you have a clean heart. Yet, have you ever considered those past stains? The smudges of youth, the smears of indiscretion, the fading of depravity, the dinginess of sin. How about the continual collecting of the dust and dirt of the present transgressions? Now, how clean is your heart? My text addresses this subject, and I want to speak to you today what I've entitled, "Do You Have a Clean Heart?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We pray that you bless your word to every heart. And we ask if there's anyone here today who is not saved, that you would reveal to them the dirtiness of their heart. That God, they might turn to you and you alone for salvation, that you would wash them from their sin and give them eternal life. May we who are saved be found faithful to you in our service day by day. May we love you. May we honor you. May we praise you. We just want to worship you today, and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Do you have a clean heart? Look at the verse. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Now, let me say unto you, first of all, that this is a rhetorical question. It begins with, who can say? Now, a rhetorical question, as we understand it, is a question which really the answer is implied. You don't even have to give an answer. It's an automatic. And so rhetorical questions are offered in order to get people to think, but they know what the answer is. You don't really expect an answer because they all know what the answer is. This is a rhetorical question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Let's think about this question for just a moment. It uses the terms here, I have made. In the Hebrew, those words mean exactly that, to make or to do. And so you think that you can do things in your life, produce things in your life, you can make your heart clean. There are many who believe that they can. Well, he says that, who can say that I have made my heart clean? Now, the word clean here means to be, properly it is to be translucent. To be able to see through, it is to be clear. So it's the idea is the matter of being innocent. So it is translated in the scriptures to be clean, to make clean, to be clear, to count pure. Some Old Testament scholars said this, and I quote, "To cleanse his heart is to empty it by self-examination and earnest effort after holiness of all impure motives and inclinations. The purifying of the heart, being pure from sinful conduct." So Solomon writes and says, who can do that? Who can make that heart clean? Now he uses the word pure. I am pure from my sin. Who can say that? The word pure means properly to be bright. It is then to be pure. It is translated as clean or to cleanse. It is to purge or to purify. So he writes, and he just asks this question, who can make my heart, I have made my heart clean, and I have made my, I'm pure from my sin. Who can say that? Who can say that? Well, nobody can. Do you know why? Because the problem is sin, isn't it? And so he uses that word at the end of the verse, the word sin there, and that means an offense. And sometimes that implies the habitual sinfulness, but it comes from a word which means to miss. And so to miss the mark is to transgress. And so this is a trespass. This is a sin. And you think of this question that is being raised up here, and the answer is obvious. Nobody can say that they have cleaned their heart and that they've been made pure from their sin. But I want you to realize that in this statement that he makes, and this question which he raises up, is directed to anyone. Who? Who can say? Anyone, anywhere, of any time, who can say that they've been able to accomplish such a cleansing? And I want you to also realize about this that the idea behind the text is the declaration of truth, not just words. Because the fact is, with your lips, you can pronounce the words and say, I have made my heart clean. I have purified myself from sin. You can say that, and people have. But not in truth. In truth, that cannot be done. And so this is more than just a mere lip service. The idea is a declaration of truth. Nobody can truly say that they made their heart clean or purified their hearts from sin. Because the fact is, sin defiles a heart. The cleansing is implied to be the removal of the sin. Read the verse. Who can say I've made my heart clean? Why? Because it's dirty. I am pure from my sin. Why? It's impure. Why? Because of sin. And so sin defiles the heart. This is a rhetorical question, and the answer is obvious. Who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. What's the answer? No one. No one. Turn back, if you will, to Job chapter 15. Let's look at a few verse references here. Job chapter 15. Verse 14 says, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Look at verse 16. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? How true that is. Ecclesiastes. And you have to go to the right of Proverbs to find that. Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote Proverbs. Same idea, isn't it? What's it say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8? If we say that we have no sin, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. You see, we're sinners, aren't we? None of us can make our hearts pure. None of us can clean our hearts. The answer is clear. This is the rhetorical question. Who can say I've made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin? No one. No one. With that in mind, and the question that I raised up today is, do you have a clean heart? Do you realize and understand that this matter that's being discussed by Solomon in the Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 9, the problem is sin? Isn't that our problem to begin with? Is sin? You read in the text there that man has indeed sinned against God. He says, "Why? Who can say that I am pure from my sin?" The heart is unclean. The heart is impure. Why? Because of sin. Someone said, here in this imperfect state, no person whatsoever can pretend to be without sin. Solomon expressed it in another place in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46, where he said, there is no man that sinneth not. And so I want you to understand very clearly that you are a sinner against God. This indicates that anyone of any age, of any culture, anywhere, are sinners. Who can say that they have a clean heart? Who can say they're purified from their sin? Because the problem is they're all sinners. No one can say that they've been purified. And this is something that encompasses every one of us. From little kids to teens to adults. You see, little children need to understand as they become of age and begin to comprehend some of these things. They need to know they've sinned against a holy God. They ought not be taught, well, you're just always pure and cute and honest and all these kind of things. All you got to do is sit down that little child and I don't know whenever they can. You need to express to your little children about their sin anyway, even from birth. Tell them. You never know what's clicking with them, but when they can communicate and you can tell them, no, bad, wrong, things like that, they pick up on that. But you sit down with your child and say, have you ever done anything wrong? A child ought to understand, yes, they have done wrong. They need to know when they disobeyed the parent, when they told a lie, when they hit little brother or sister or a bigger brother or sister and tried to get away with it, tried to cover it up. Oh, there's so many things. Anybody that's been a parent knows that children are sinners. Why would we try to deceive those little children into thinking, well, you don't have to worry about sin and you don't have to worry about judgment and you don't have to worry about you're standing before God because you're just a little kid. Children need to know when they've done wrong. They need to be taught. This is wrong. You've not only sinned against mom and dad, you sinned against God. They need to know that. Why? Because as they continue to grow, their sin is just going to continue to multiply. And teens, well, every one of us have been teens if we're of age. And you know what? We've sinned, haven't we? Is there any here that would dare stand up and say, no, I've never done anything wrong. I've never sinned against God. I've never done anything that would cause my heart to be impure? Of course not. We all have sinned against God, haven't we? People need to understand that. They need to know. And certainly as adults, we have enough sense to know. We've not been perfect in our lives. Oh, we may not be like a lot of other people. But can you see that you've had sin in your life? And that defiles your heart? And if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're still under the wrath and judgment of God. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 3. I know these are very familiar verses, but it's good to be reminded of these things. Romans chapter 3 tells us in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, you're a sinner. You say, you mean my child is a sinner? Yes, your child is a sinner. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner. We've sinned against God. And that sin has defiled our hearts. And who in the world can make it clean? The rhetorical question says, I can't do it. And you can't do it. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I've run into a couple people in my lifetime, in my ministry, who thought, as adults, thought that they had not sinned in their life. They made some mistakes, but they didn't see it as sin. In fact, it was my aunt. She said that she hadn't sinned because her preacher told her that as long as you didn't cover it up, it was not sin. If you didn't lie about it, you didn't cover it up, it was okay. Well, that's just wrong, isn't it? She was a sinner just as much as anybody else. Psalm 90 or 39 verse 5 says, man in his best state is altogether vanity. I mean, from the little toddler to the old person, men and women, boys and girls are sinners. And they have defiled hearts. They have depraved hearts. They need the Savior. Turn, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 13. In thinking about these things that, hey, the problem that we have really is sin, and that's what Solomon is discussing in Proverbs chapter 20 is, well, my heart's defiled. How can we make that thing clean? Can I do that? Can anybody really say that they can do that? It's the matter of how do I get rid of my sin? Well, the answer to the rhetorical question is nobody can really do that of their own. They can't. But people try, don't they? And I want you to understand very clearly that reformation is not sufficient. You think, well, I'll just clean up my act. I'll get my ducks in a row. I'll get the carts in order, and I'll be all right. And God will understand, and God will permit. No, He will not, my friend. You already have a stained heart. It's already corrupt. It's already defiled. It needs to be clean. How's it going to get clean? Not by your reformation. Not by you cleaning up your act. Now, certainly, if you behave in a bad manner, you need to clean up your act. But it'll not clean your heart. Jeremiah chapter 13, where I ask you to turn, look at verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard's his spots? Those things don't change. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. When a person's lost, they generate all of their deeds from a depraved heart. What do you expect them to do? They're going to be exactly who they are in their nature. And so they're accustomed to do evil. They're going to continue to do evil. And they might be able to dress it up a little, but they can't clean the heart. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. And I fear we have a great deal of people in our society just like that. They're pure in their own eyes, but they've not been washed in their filthiness. And I'll tell you the reason why they've not been washed is because they're looking at the wrong procedure or manner or method to be washed. There are thousands of people meeting in church this morning, my friend, who believe they're getting to heaven because they keep the commandments. They think that if they do good, it will make up for the things that they've done bad, and they believe that their good works can clean their heart. It cannot. There are many today who believe that because they're a member of a church or they do these religious ceremonies, that that's what's going to get them in. They think that's what's going to wash their heart, and it cannot. There's a generation who are pure in their own eyes, but they are defiled. They're full of transgression. Those Hebrew scholars said, and I quote once again, the remains of a sinful tendency always conceal themselves in the folds of his heart. Sinful thoughts still cross his soul, and stains of all kinds still defile even his best actions. Isn't it true? We cannot clean our own heart, and the Reformation will not do it. It's not sufficient. Even those of us who are saved, who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who do have a clean heart, I've already tipped the answer to the question, but who already have a clean heart in Jesus Christ, we still battle with sin, don't we? We still wrestle with that. Paul mentions it in Romans chapter 7, the things that I would do, I do not, and the things that I wouldn't do, those things I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Even as Christians, we struggle with sin. And you have a whole host of individuals out here who think that they're pure, who think that their religion is sufficient, who think they can wash their own hearts from their sin, and they cannot. Solomon wrote and said, who can say that? Nobody can say that. Nobody can cleanse their hearts. Turn, if you will, to Psalm chapter 49. Very clearly and as blunt as I can make it, man cannot clean his own heart. You can clean your house and you can clean your car and you can wash your body. You know what? You cannot clean your heart. Psalm 49 verse 7 says, and this is in reference to those who are rich. They think they can buy their way out of anything. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. nor give to God a ransom for him. Notice in the parenthetical, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceases forever. But it picks it up. You go from verse 7 to verse 9. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. It cannot be done. Man cannot make his heart clean. Jonah understood that in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9 when he said, salvation is of the Lord. He couldn't get out of that belly, the belly of the whale. He could not resolve his situation. Only God could deliver him. Deliverance only comes from what God has given to us. Acts chapter 13, listen to verse 38 and verse 39. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The word justified means to be declared righteous. Someone has said that justified means just as if I'd never sinned. It is such a declaration of purity. It is clean. When a person is saved in Jesus Christ through his shed blood, we are declared righteous in the eyes of God. Our hearts are washed. We are forgiven of our sins. We are pure before God. And it's not by our own self-righteousness. It's not by the works of the law. You can't be justified by those things. You have a dirty heart. I don't care what your age is. You have a dirty heart. You're defiled. Who can make it clean? That's the question, isn't it? Well, you can't do it. That's the answer of the verse. And so you look at the text and says, well, who can say I've made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. The problem is sin. So sin must be dealt with. No matter your age, you've sinned against God. You say, oh, not so, not my little sweet innocent child. The Bible says that they come forth from the womb speaking lies. And anybody that's had children knows that even babies lie. You ever see, get this little baby? I mean, even an infant, a week old. And pick up the child, child's fine. Sit that child down, they're like the dying. They're crying and screaming and all kinds of slobbering, writhing around. They think you thought you dropped them on their head or something. You know what? They're dying. You go and you pick them up again. Oh, they're great. You know what they're doing? They're lying right through their teeth. Well, they don't have teeth. I guess they couldn't do that, could they? They're lying to you, though. They're tricking you. Truth is, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have defiled hearts. How are you going to deal with that defiled heart? Sin must be dealt with. Let me give you a few reasons about this. John chapter 3 is the first one. Sin must be dealt with because its presence defiles our soul. It really does. John chapter 3, Jesus made this statement in verse 19 and verse 20. Where he says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. My friend, sin defiles us inside and out. Do I believe in total depravity? Yes, I do. Every portion of my being has been touched by sin. You say, well, you have a will. I have a will to choose according to my nature, and that's how I'll choose. And your will is tainted by sin, I guarantee you. If God doesn't move, if God doesn't work, you will always choose wrong. God is the one that will grant us the grace where we will do anything different. Why? Because sin defiles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 tells us that we're children of wrath, children of disobedience. That shows us that we have a defiled heart. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 59. Not only does sin have to be dealt with because it defiles our soul, but it also separates us from God. So I don't care if I sin against God. It doesn't make any difference to me. You better. Because sin separates. Isaiah 59. Verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot hear or cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sinner friend, you're separated from God because of your sin. Christian, even as a child of God, you can cause God to turn a deaf ear from your prayer and from your desires because of sin in your life. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so I encourage you to realize that sin must be dealt with. Sin separates us from God. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Thirdly, I'll tell you that sin must be dealt with because it makes us enemies of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, a warfare against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Anyone who is outside of Jesus Christ is an enemy of God, whether you realize it or not. You say, well, I don't fight against God. If you're not saved, you do. The Scripture says so. You are at enmity. You will not bow the knee. And you cannot bow the knee in that condition, in that situation. You need Jesus Christ. From the youngest to the oldest, all have sinned and come short. All have been separated from the love of God. All are enemies of God. And you need the Savior. And so you need to deal with your sin. Simply look at Romans chapter 8, verse 8, because it means we cannot please God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And there are multitudes this morning trying to please God by their religion and by their activities and by their life, and it just cannot be done. You know why? Because they have an impure heart to begin with. They're not clean from the inside out. They need the Savior. And you need to deal with your sin because, turn back a chapter to Romans chapter 6, it brings upon us the penalty of death. As kind as I can say it, the wages of sin is death. You know what it is to earn a wage? You go, you work. The penalty for that, the payment for that, the paycheck is death. And all have sinned, from the youngest to the oldest. All have sinned. The payment for that is death. But don't you like the rest of that verse? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our text, which Solomon writes, speaks of the need to be clean. Are you here today without Christ? Understand, you have a dirty heart. You say, I'm young, I don't have to worry about those kind of things. You have a dirty heart. From the infant to the ages, a dirty heart. Solomon in our text speaks of the need to being clean. And what cleanses our sin? Isn't that the real question? If he raises up the question and says, well, who can say they've made their own heart clean and they've purified themselves from their sin? Who can say that? Well, nobody can. Well, that's a real problem. What are we going to do with that? If you would believe God today, if you believe the Word of God and understand that you're a sinner, alienated from God, under condemnation, under the wrath of God, there's nothing you can do about that. That's a problem, isn't it? What cleanses our sin? Let me give you the answer. I've already tipped it off, but let me reiterate. I'll tell you right off, we're unable to clean our own hearts. Job chapter 14, verse 4 says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Not one. You're already filthy. You can't make it clean. You cannot do it. Only God can cleanse our hearts through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. And you're certainly welcome to turn over there. But it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What we need is forgiveness. How are you going to get it? Not by your works of righteousness. Not by your religion. You can't make your heart clean. You need to be forgiven. Turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Only God can cleanse our hearts through Jesus Christ. I'll tell you today, I have a clean heart only because of Jesus Christ. In my position, I've been washed in the blood, I've been justified, and I stand pure in the eyes of God, not because of anything that I have done, but only because of Jesus Christ and the salvation He has imparted to me. God alone can clean your heart. And you have a dirty heart if you're lost. You still do. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 14. Making a comparison between the Old Testament sacrifices and how those things helped out in the purification of the nation and those kind of things, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, that's the sacrifice which Christ has made, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Isn't the problem is sin in your heart? You're defiled? Your conscience is defiled? You need forgiveness. How much more will the blood of Christ purge our conscience from those dead works? It is the blood, isn't it? Back in chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews in verse 3, talking about Jesus Christ and all of His greatness, said, who, being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You need cleansed from your sin today? That purging only comes through Jesus Christ. Turn to one other place, Isaiah chapter 1. If you're familiar with the Scriptures, you might well guess what this verse may be. Isaiah chapter 1. Who cleanses our sin? I can't do it, and you can't do it, but I'll tell you who can. It's Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 1, and in verse 18, God makes a plea to the nation of Israel, and He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Listen, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's good news, isn't it? Why? Because we've sinned against the holy God. We're defiled before our righteous God. And we can't fix it. But Jesus Christ came nearly 2,000 years ago to die as a sinner, though He never sinned. And He bore sins upon Himself as He hung there on the tree, and He was crucified, and He was buried, and He rose again. And through His shed blood, our sins can be purged, and our consciences can be washed, and we can be saved. Who can say that they've washed their heart? Nobody. Who can say that they've made themselves pure from their sin? Nobody. But those of us who know Jesus Christ, better yet, those of us who are known of Jesus Christ, He has saved us, He has washed us. And so we sing that blessed hymn, don't we? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. From the infant to the most aged person, sinners, defiled, they can only be saved through Jesus Christ. To this man is how we preach unto you the forgiveness of sins. One last quote. And though there is such a thing as a pure or clean heart, yet not as made so by men. It is God that has made the heart that can only make it clean, or create a clean heart in men. It is not to be done by themselves or by anything that they can do. It is done only by the grace of God and the blood of Christ. God has promised to do it, and He does it, and to Him only, it is to be ascribed. End of quote. What cleanses our sin? It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the provision which He has made. That's what cleanses sin. That's what brings us to a place of forgiveness before God. That's what cleans the heart. That's what purifies the soul. In conclusion then, four things. Number one, all men have a need to have their hearts cleansed from sin. There's not anybody here, I don't care what your age is, your background, your education, or anybody here that can say, well, I don't have to worry about being saved. I don't need Jesus Christ. I'm clean and I'm pure. No, you are not. Everyone has a defiled heart, even the youngest among us. They need the Savior. All men have a need to have their hearts cleansed from sin. Number two, that cleansing only comes through Jesus and His provision. I can't make it any plainer than that. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And you're going to be washed. You're going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's it. It's not your religion. It's not your baptism. It's not your church membership. It doesn't matter how much you've taken communion. My friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if He has not washed you through His blood, you do not have eternal life. You're still defiled. You're still an enemy. You're still alienated. You need Jesus. And we point you to Him. Number three, our text makes it abundantly clear you cannot clean your heart yourself. Cannot be done. Last question is this. Number four, do you have a clean heart? Are you saved today? Has Jesus washed you in His blood? Forgiven you of your sin? Well, even Christians still sin since then, but have you been made right before God? Has He cleansed your heart? Do you have a clean heart? You say, yes, I do. I ask you, how was it cleansed? Upon what do you depend? Well, I've gone to church all my life. Not enough. Well, I'm doing the best I can. Not sufficient. Well, I'm religious. It'll never do. You cannot clean your heart. If Jesus doesn't clean it, it will not be clean. You can only be washed in the blood of Jesus for forgiveness of sins. Ask yourself, do I have a clean heart today? Because Jesus has saved me and cleansed me and made me whole. And His Spirit lives within. Do you have a clean heart? If not, we point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. If you're here and you're lost, He alone can give you eternal life. Would you be saved today? Would you trust Him? Would you allow Him to clean your heart? I pray that you will. Let's stand, Brother Paul. Would you please come? The invitation simply is this, that you would respond to God's moving in your heart. If you need Jesus right where you are, would you repent, believe on Him, trust in Christ, that He'd wash you and make you whole. Father, bless Your Word as only You can to every heart today. If there's anyone here today who is not saved, I pray that You would just speak to them, convict them, draw them, help them to see that they have a defiled heart. They cannot fix it, but You can. Lord, save the lost. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have. But then, Lord, knowing that we have a clean heart, let us live a life that is compatible to that. Let us respond well. Let us be faithful to You, and we can only do that by Your grace and by Your mercy. So we need You day by day, all the time. God, cause us to live for You and to love You. May Your will be done in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?
Number 400.